Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I'm going to give a brief opportunity to ask any questions. I know that Brother Paul here has just come in with us here in the last few weeks, a fine brother, and seems to be hungering and thirsting after the things of God and drawn. And I'll open up briefly if he has any questions or anything pertaining to doctrine and word. Now, and I'll open up for all if anybody has any questions, but I will say this, that there's churches today that the preachers say, well, I don't preach doctrine. They stay away from doctrine. Well, if you, I wouldn't want to offend nobody, but if I went to a church and the pastor said he doesn't preach doctrine, I would run from that church as fast as I could. Because if he's not preaching doctrine, he's got nothing to say. The Bible's very clear about doctrine, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are led and taught to indoctrinate people. And the thing is that doctrine is what sets us apart from the world. Doctrine is what brings us to revelations and understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we have to have a doctrine. If we just want to please people and pull people together by activities, if it's singing or activities or things like that, that won't hold people. It'll maybe pull them together and it won't save people. The only thing that'll bring salvation is doctrine. The Lord said if they come preaching any other doctrine than what I, the Lord Jesus, preached, he said, let them be accursed. There's nothing more important than doctrine. And if there's any doctrinal questions, you know, there's so many people that are set apart from one another. One say, well, I believe in the gifts of God. This one say, well, I don't believe they're for today. One says, well, I believe in a Trinitarian doctrine. One says, I believe in a oneness doctrine. I mean, we can go on and on and on. Some are separated over the doctrines of sanctification. You know, they're very similar in doctrines, the Assembly of God, the Church of God. That's the only difference between those two churches is one believes in once and for all sanctification, and another one believes in a daily. And you know what? They're both right. Both 100% right, but this is a doctrine that has set them apart or in a disagreement with one another, though they may fellowship together. But again, if you have questions, be pondering on it for a moment or slip up your hand, and I will give you an opportunity to ask. I don't claim to be a scholar or a theologian by no means, but I am a son of God, and I'm called to preach the gospel. The Bible said the bishop or the minister needs to be apt to teach. And the thing is that I have taken time to study out many denominational doctrines and teachings, for I could know if I can walk with them. The Bible said two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And if you're walking with somebody and it makes you agreement with them, and if they're a doctrinal error, it makes you in agreement with the doctrinal error, and you could stand the judgments of God. Now, we like to hear things in the Bible when it says you give a glass of water to a prophet, you become partakers with him in his reward. You like to hear those things. But on the other hand, if you be partakers with somebody that's in error, then you're going to be partakers with them in their reward also. In other words, when I put my name on a ballot for somebody that believes in murdering of babies and putting two men together in matrimony, I'll burn in hell as a sodomite and a murderer. Do you understand that? So I can't do that. And we're too lascivious. We're too lighthearted. We're too just, oh, everything's under the blood of Jesus. And that's another doctrine that people don't understand. They don't understand the blood of Jesus, and it's preached in every church in our country in America. And people don't understand the blood of Jesus. I had a man put his finger in my face right up here in town, and he said the blood of Jesus atones for all sin. Well, he has scripture for that, but I also have scripture that it doesn't atone for willful sin. So which one are you going to believe? I believe them both. It atoned for all sin of the flesh, but the sin of the soul, it doesn't atone for that sin once you've come to the knowledge of the truth. And I've got Bible for that. And these are things that we need to understand. You know, the thing is like I said, if you were going to, you know, if Brother Dale come to me and said, Brother, I'm thinking about taking a trip over to Africa. And I say, well, praise God. And you know what he's going to do before he makes that trip? He's going to make some preparations. He's going to get his papers in order. Make sure he has his passports in order. His shots in order. But you know, when it comes to making it into the kingdom of God, we are so lascivious and lighthearted. Well, I said the sinner's prayer. Well, praise God, you and about a billion other people that are going to hell. And you say, well, you can't say that. I can say that just as well as you could say that you're going to make it because you said some fancy prayer. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, I got Bible that does say that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and thou shalt be saved. But you know, the Bible also is rightly dividing the word of God. My Bible also says line upon line and precept upon precept. You know, and how many people, how about the ones that come stand before the Lord Jesus, make statement to them? He said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. And he said, but wait a minute, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Now you say that's the action and the works of the ministry. But he said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. And the Bible said that they were cast into the lake of fire. So see, that's some things that we need to consider. But I find people so light-hearted, so lascivious, so lukewarm, so lackadaisical about their eternity and about salvation. You know, we got churches that are ordaining sodomites. We got churches that are ordaining women into the ministry field to preach the gospel. And some of those women are very powerful preachers. But it's still not biblical and it's still not the Word of God. We've got to tear out too much Bible to do some of these things. And this is what we need to be indoctrinated for we can know what the Word of God teaches and what it says. And you say, well, Brother Ron, if they don't believe like you, are they wrong? That's not at all what I'm saying. If I don't believe like the Word of God, I'm wrong. I've got to line up with this Bible. And if I teach a doctrine in this church that isn't lined up with this Bible, then I would say that you need to run, or at least love me enough first to come to me and say, well, Brother Rob, I got Bible. And you show me in the Scriptures, and I'll stand before the brotherhood, and I'll repent and say, God, have mercy on me. I've had my eyes open to things. I don't have a spirit of error. My Bible teaches me that. You sons of God, or we the Christians, we do not have a spirit of error. But we can make mistakes. But a spirit of error is habitual and a continual error. But again, it's the blood of Jesus is probably one of the most misunderstood doctrines that are out there. You're a Protestant, you'll find fault with the Catholic Church for sending their people into a little confession booth. And they go standing there before a priest and he says, you know, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. And they make a confession to him and he tells them, say your Hail Marys and count your beads and thus, thus, and us and go on. And your sins are forgiven. And you find fault with that. Well, I do too. But I find just as much fault with you going up to your Baptist, your Methodist, your Pentecostal, your Church of God, your Salvation Army. I don't care what it is. And I find just as much fault with you when you come up into the altars and say, man, I've sinned. You know, I've had an affair. I was in adultery. I was in fornication. I was drunk. I was doing this. And they say, well, I plead the blood of Jesus over you. Go your way. That's a lie from hell. And I can show it to you in the Scriptures. In Hebrews 10, it's very clear. In Hebrews 6, very clear. Line upon line. Well, what do we do in those situations? We counsel people. But the Bible said that once we're born of God, if we're born again, we don't plead the blood of Jesus. We're going to go through the chastening and the fire of the Holy Ghost. The Bible's very clear about that. He said, once you've come enlightened to the truth and tasted of this world to come, and then you go off into willful sin, it said there remaineth no more sacrifice for you. It said you have one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. Well, let me tell you what the fiery indignation of God is. If you're a son of God and you've trespassed against him, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin, the Bible says. But when you trespass against God, the fiery indignation of God is what John the Baptist was talking about when Jesus came there. He said, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but one come after me. He said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when you're a son of God and you go off into what they would be willful trespasses or sin against God, you're going to go through the fire. The Bible said he chastens them that he loves. The children of God, the sons of God, we Christians will be chastened. He says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. We'll be chastened, brethren. And sometimes we find, I could take you into more scriptures, and the Bible says this. It said that they're sick and afflicted among you because they don't know how to discern the body of the Lord. Sick and afflicted. Well, who's the body of the Lord? We're the body of the Lord. What you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me, is what the Bible says. You know, and we think, well, you know, someday Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. My Bible says when two or three of us come together in his name, he's in the midst of us. Well, the devil's here too. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, the devil's there also. You see, brethren, this is what we do. We teach doctrine. We teach the Word of God. We don't just come and play the little religious church games. And the Bible said not laying again the foundation of repentance over and over and over and over again. You come to church and you say, praise God, Jesus shed his blood. I love that message too. I was saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. Or I wouldn't even be here. You understand that? It was the blood that washed me and cleansed me of my sin and regenerated me and made me righteous and pure and whole and godly. It's the blood. I'm not doing away with the blood, but what I'm saying, once it does its work, then you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. You understand that? I'm no longer a sinner. If you're in church and they teach you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, I would run. Because the Bible said, ye that sin are of the devil. I'm not going to teach my brothers and sisters they're of the devil. I got to teach them that you're children of God, sons of God, been born of the Spirit. You were born first by your natural mothers and fathers, natural, in a corruptible seed, shapen in iniquity, appointed unto you to die. That's what the Bible says. It's appointed unto you to die. But then yet, when you've been crucified with Christ, according to the Scriptures, and buried with Him in a watery grave of baptism, resurrected as a new creature in Christ Jesus, the old thing, that old man has passed away. All things have become new. That's Bible. What is new? I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I'm eternal, sealed in the heavenlies. Amen. And I can't die because I passed from death unto life. The Bible said we're more than conquerors. We're talking doctrine now, brethren. What do we go to church for? We go to learn, to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. We got to know who we are in Christ. If we don't know who we are, the devil's going to beat us around, or we're going to have some lukewarm doctrine of devils that is teaching us lasciviousness and a religious ideology through some seminary school, and they're telling you that you're sinners, that you sin every day, and nobody's perfect. Those are all lies from the pits of hell. You understand that? If you sin every day, you're going to hell. If you're born of God, you cannot sin, because the seed keepeth you from sin and remaineth in you according to the Scriptures and the Word of God. So you believe that you can't sin, Brother Rob? And I say, I believe in what the Bible says. It don't matter what I believe in what the Word of God says. That's what we got to believe. Now, we'll open up for questions. I thought if maybe you didn't have any, I would create some for you. Amen. I come in one night and I ask for questions. I say, anybody got a question? We had no questions. I said, okay, I'm going to create some. But you know, many religious people don't understand dimensions at all. They don't understand body, soul, spirit. They don't understand Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. They understand it as three-person God. That's a lie out of Catholicism in the pits of hell. There's no three-person God. That makes the Word of God a lie. Well, you're a oneness. No, I'm not a oneness. I'm not a two-ness or a three-ness. I'm a son of God. I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm not here to defend Trinitarian doctrine, because Trinitarian doctrine is from Catholicism. And the Protestant church is the daughter of the harlot. Well, aren't you Protestant? Well, I do protest against Catholicism. That's where the word Protestant comes from. But I'm protesting against the Protestants, so I guess I'm a double portion Protestant. I reprove their doctrines because they've all come back to the same thing. They've all returned back unto the same thing. Like I said, the Protestant will find fault with the Catholic priest for telling them their sins are forgiven and tell them to go on and count their beads and these things. But the Pentecostal preachers, the Baptist preachers, the Methodist preachers, the Church of God preachers are doing the same thing. They got some guy they call a deacon because he gives a lot of money into the offering and because he supports the church and this and that, but he's nothing but a wretched drunk and a whoremonger and runs around and he's unclean and filthy, but he comes into the church every revival meeting and the preacher lays hands on him and says, I plead the blood of Jesus over you. God loves you and he's forgiven you. Go on about your business. And he was talking in tongues on his way out the door. What kind of foolishness is that? You say, well, don't you believe in the remission of sin? Oh, sure I do. That's why I'm here. But we got to get a revelation and an understanding of this kind of doctrines and find out what the word is. Paul said, I'm looking for a fruit met unto repentance. What is repentance? Does it mean I'm sorry? Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. Please forgive. That's not repentance. That's a motion of repentance. Repentance is turning around and going the other way. You understand that? A guy does his wife wrong, gets mad, shows his ignorance, loses his temper, says smart aleck things to her. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then he does it again tomorrow or next week. And he says, well, I repented last night. You ain't repented because you turned away from that ignorance of mistreating your wife. You understand that? Repentance means I'm turned away from that. I'm gone the other way from that. Yes, you might stumble, you might make a mistake, but we got to see fruit that's met under repentance. Salvation, brothers and sisters, is fruit of the Spirit. When you say you're born again, you're not born again because you said a prayer or you confessed Jesus as your Savior or said a fancy thing. You're born again because you received the Spirit of life and the Spirit of holiness and the Spirit of power. That's what the Bible says. Without His Spirit, you're none of His. The Bible said without holiness, you'll never see God. He is a holy God. The Holy Ghost is the title that He comes to us in. So we have to have the Spirit of holiness or we have none of Him. So again, is there any questions? I can create some more. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I pray every day that God reveals things to me. The way I was taught was that the rapture will happen in the end time, and the eastern sky will break open.
Yes, sir. That's Bible.
And Christ will take the dead that's dead, that's considered asleep.
Yes, sir.
And then Christians
alive and remain.
Will go next in the twinkling of an eye.
Yes. That's Bible.
You know, I'm trying to learn the right way.
Well, that is the right way, but it's not the completion of it. Could y'all hear his question? Well, let me repeat what he's asking. He's speaking about the rapture. One thing I could say for first and utmost for Bible scholars and people that are looking to find biblical references to it, you're not going to find any. There's no Bible for rapture. The word rapture is nowhere in the scriptures or the word. Rapture is a terminology that we Christian people have utilized over the years. And the thing is that the word millennium is not a biblical word. People say like pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. There's a lot of different teachings. But this question is, he said, I was taught that the eastern sky rolled back like a scroll. He's got Bible for that. And that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us which are alive and remain. I could take you and read this to you in Thessalonians 4th chapter. And it said, those of us which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air. So we're talking about caught up. This is where they use the term rapture in many cases. The thing is that the scripture is accurate. But we got to find out what it's talking to. Now let me mention some things about this. And we can go into the scriptures and the word. I'm going to speak. It's your responsibility to go into the word. I'll quote scriptures all the way through this time of speaking to you. And I may choose to run over and read some. When we talk about pre, post, and mid-tribulation raptures, you see, there's people that believe that the church is going to be in the tribulation period. There's some say the church is going to be caught out before the tribulation. Now the tribulation is a 7-year period of time marked at the end. If we go over to the book of Daniel, it talks about 490 years appointed to the people or to the end. Well, there was 483 years of that time. It was fulfilled when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. There was 483 years. We find in Revelation where the angel stood on one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and said, time is no more. And you say, what do you mean there's no more time? Well, if you go into the eternal day of the Lord in the Spirit, there is no time in that. In the Spirit, there's no beginning, no end, no day, no night. And it's into the one eternal day of the Lord. No darkness, no night. Well, the angel stood with one foot on the land and the sea, one in the heavens, one in the earth. And he was declaring with his hands lifted up in the heavens and saying, time shall be no more. So at Calvary, when this angel did this, was the end of time, 483 years. Now, the Jews are related to time. We're the sons of God. The Christians, we're not related to time because we're the sons of God. And I go into more scriptures about that. But when the 7 years, comes back to the 483 years, that's the fulfillment of the 490 years. Now, this gap of time in between the 483 and the 490 is this grace dispensation of time of the church ages. And these seven churches through this time, and we find a brighter light coming down to the end. Now, I know it sounds like I've gotten a little ways away from your rapture question, but I'm saying all this because when you're talking about rapture, people are thinking mid, post, and trib again. So let me say this. They're all three correct in a perspective. And let me explain this for just give me a moment. The thing is that the Bible speaks about elect in the tribulation. Do you realize that there's going to be elect in the tribulation? Well, then you believe in post-tribulation rapture. No, I'm teaching you what elect is in there. Do you realize that the Jews are God's elect people? How many know that? It's in the Bible that the Jews, the natural Jews, are God's natural elect. Okay, but I'm God's spiritual elect. The Bible said that there's a true Jew and a spiritual Jew. Okay, the true Jew is the elect, and they will be in the tribulation because they said when they were screaming out to crucify our Lord, they said, let his blood be on our head and our children and our children's children, and it has been. There was millions of Jews killed in the Holocaust, and they stand accountable. Now, the thing is this returning of the Lord. You see, the church will be saying, oh, praise God, man, I'm waiting on the returning of the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord, and they're shouting hallelujah. But what they don't realize, when the Lord returns in like manner which they've seen him depart at Mount of Olives, if you remember in the scriptures when he was ascending up at the Mount of Olives, they said, why do you gaze here into the sky in like manner that you see him go, he'll return. Okay? When he returns in that like manner, he's returning to the Jew. When he returns in that manner, he's returning to the Jew. And those Jews are going to be in a 7-year tribulation period. And the Bible said the blood is going to go to the horse's bridle. You know about the Valley of Megiddo there? I've been there on Mount Carmel looking over that valley there. And, you know, and it's an astounding thought just to think of blood, that much blood. And I believe it's 200 million soldiers are going to come out of China and march across the Euphrates there, coming into that valley. Yeah, this is biblical. Now, the thing is that he's saying, I've been taught from a kid about this eastern sky rolling back like a scroll and the returning of the Lord. That's correct doctrine, brethren. But we've got to also understand it in the fullness. Now, I could take you in the book of Revelation and talk about God is, God was, and God is to come. God is, God was, and God to come. It's all the one and the same God. But we got to realize that the appearing of the Lord is different. Let me tell you about the God that is right now. Are you ready to hear about the God that is? Because you got these religious ideologies that are far from God. Okay, but the God that is today, how many believe that we're sons of God? The Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. And it goes on to say that the world does not see you of what you already are. Why? Because the world doesn't have eyes to see. Jesus told him that when he stood before him. He said, though you have eyes, you do not see. So if I stand before the people of this world and say, hey, brethren, friends, neighbors, fellow Americans, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. And they're going to look, stone him. That's what they did to Jesus. He said, you're mere man making yourself to be God. And Jesus replied to them and says, but you are God's. Isn't it written that you are God's? You could read it for yourself in Psalms 84, I believe. And you could read about it in John, the book of John there. And it's in several of the Gospels. We're still speaking about doctrines of rapture. We need to understand. Now, I had a lady come to church visiting, and I'm going to say this before I can go on. With thought, and when you mentioned confusion, I would use a different terminologies as a Christian or a child of God, which I believe you are. I would never use the word of confusion. The Bible said confusions of the devil. I'd say, I need help with understanding. Now, the thing is, I'm not at all confused in the doctrines of rapture, the doctrines of the Godhead, or any of these things. And many people are confused, brother. Again, the doctrine of three-person God is confusion to me because Father is invisible that no man has seen. And a person is something you could see because a person is something that is tangible, something seen, something that's corruptible, something that goes to corruption, something that has an end. That's the person part. And Jesus was personified in a personification of a fleshly tabernacle. The fleshly tabernacle was a corruptible part, but he said, I suffered not the Holy One to see corruption, and he redeemed him out of hell. Amen. And he took the corruption and put on incorruption. And this is the same thing that you and I do. The Bible says that the telestial put on the celestial. So we have to learn these things and understand what these things mean. And you say, well, what if I don't know these things? You should have a hunger and an unction to learn these things. I try to keep it as simplistic as possible, but I don't expect people to just say, okay, I got this. If you come into these kind of doctrines and teachings and say, oh yeah, I got this, and you think you walk out with your hip pocket, you'll find yourself lacking. You got to give your life, and these things have to be, the Bible says, spiritually discerned. As we say so oftentimes, Brother Paul said, I would like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. And he said, the things that I'm trying to teach you, you should be teaching these things. Amen. So, let's go on for a moment. I say the sister that came into the church, she says, Brother Rom, she goes, do you really believe that the rapture has already taken place? And I said, well, yes, ma'am, don't you? And I mean, if she kind of like, you know, it's like, man, it took her breath almost. Now, if I could have showed you what her spirit was doing, her spirit was, you ever seen a crawfish going backwards trying to get away? That's what she's doing. She was looking to get out the door as quick as she could. But then yet, I said this for a purpose. Would I lie to the woman? And I could ask all of you, well, don't you believe the rapture's already taken place? Now, I could be as sincere as I can be with you. I could say, well, do you think it already took place, Brother Rob? And I could say, absolutely it has, and I could prove it to you in the scriptures. And if I can't prove it to you in the scriptures, then you should get up and run out of this church. You understand that? But now, before I answer that question, let's talk about it. What rapture am I talking about? That's the first question. Number one, rapture is not a biblical term, but I'm using your terminologies of rapture. But let's talk about the terminologies, brothers and sisters, of biblical. The Bible said catching up, catching away. Now let me ask you this. When Jesus said, where I am, you will be there with me also. Now what is that? Where's Jesus at? Let me ask you something. Is Jesus in heaven? How many believe that Jesus is in heaven right now? There was a place prepared. He said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And he went on to say, wherever I am, you are there also. There's another place Scripture says we're dwelling in heavenly places. How many people believe the Bible, first off? I believe the Word. Okay, if the Bible says that I'm dwelling in heavenly places, then how did I get there? Okay, so now you say you believe the rapture's already taken place. I believe in one of the raptures has taken place. I believe that there's another rapture that is taking place. One has already taken place, one is taking place, and one is going to take place. Now I'm going to teach you this, that there was a God that is, there's a God that was, and there's a God that is to come. So now we're speaking about God is, was, and is to come. I'm speaking about rapture, or I should use the term catching up, a catching away, a transfiguration of the body, waiting the redemption of the body. Now those are biblical terms. Now I'm using Bible terms. Rapture is not a Bible term, but if we say transfiguration. You see, there's a justification, a sanctification, and a transfiguration. And you say, well, this stuff's confusing. It isn't confusing at all. I'm speaking to you the way Paul spoke. I'm speaking to you the way Jesus spoke. There's a body, soul, spirit, a Father, Word, Holy Ghost, a natural, physical, spiritual world, and there's a first, second, and third heaven. So which heaven are you in tonight, Brother Rob? Well, what heaven are you in? Are you in the first heaven, the second heaven, or the third heaven? And let me ask you where your body's at, and where's your soul at, and where's your spirit at? And you say, it's all right here. And I say, well, if it's all right here, then Jesus is here too, because if you're a Christian, your spirit is hid away and sealed in with him. And he said, when two or three come together, he said he's in the midst. So then where's heaven at? If Jesus is here, did he depart heaven to come here? Or could heaven be here when he said the kingdom of God is without observation? Now, how many believe in an invisible God? I can show you that in the Bible. It said the Father is invisible, no man has seen him. The Bible says invisible powers and principalities and powers, visible and invisible. So the Bible teaches us to see the unseen. I got Bible for that also. I told you I'd stir up all kinds of questions. So I'm supposed to be answering questions, but I'm certain. But this is Bible, brethren. This is the Word of God. So now, if we're going to talk about rapture, and I'm saying it's already happened, which one happened? My spirit man has been caught away with Christ, hid in. Nothing could be laid to its charge. It's hid away, sealed in. It's perfected once and for all by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Everything I'm saying is backed by the Bible. Every word I just said. I'm dwelling in heavenly places. Nothing could be laid to my charge. My Bible says that ye that are born of God cannot sin because his seed remaineth in you. 1 John 3rd chapter. His seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. And then the next goes on to say, and it said, ye that sin are of your father, the devil. So are you of your father, the devil? If you're a sinner, you're of the devil. If you're a son of God, then you're of your heavenly father. There's a spirit in you that cries out, Abba, Father. You know, this is not confusing. This is all Bible. You need to prove me wrong or prove me right. And I'll tell you what, thus saith the Lord, I'm speaking the word of God, and it's by the spirit of revelation. And I've got the spirit of Jesus Christ living and dwelling in me. That is the Holy Ghost, and it's no longer me speaking, but it's God speaking through me. Amen. And you say, well, you think too highly of yourself. No, let me tell you what I think of myself. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I've been crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You know, sometimes people don't recognize the fact of souls being weighed in the balances and found wanting, and it's very important. I tell you, it would take me hours, literally hours. We'd be here until daylight in the morning to clarify some of the things that we've opened up here this evening. But you should have a hunger and thirst after these things. There should be something in your spirit drawing you to these things, hungering for this. Amen. You know, some people are very content. Well, I just know that Jesus and him crucified. Paul said, I didn't come with eloquence of speech or some superior wisdom, but he said, I come with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he didn't stop there, brethren. We got to go on into some doctrine. Now, to finish your question, The thing is we're talking about using a term called rapture, again, transfiguration with the redemption of the body and a catching up. When I tell you that the rapture's already taken place, our spirit man has already been caught away. It's hidden in Christ. That's done. It's finished. If you're predestined in Christ, you see, you're a child of God. Now we're going to say that's the spirit caught away. Where's your soul at? And then where's your body at? Now we've got to understand what sin is. You say sin's transgression of the law, and I say yea and amen. Now the thing is that the Bible said that there's a sin unto death, and we don't even pray for that one, but there's another sin. So now we're differentiating sin. And you say, why you make it so complicated? I'm not, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now there's a sin that we don't pray for. Still speaking of catching up or rapture. How many believe that the Bible says that we take up our cross daily? How many read that? Okay, so if we take up our cross daily, we're crucified all the day long, the Bible says. Now, I hope when you're staying with me and believing what the Bible says. So if we're crucified all the day long, we take up our cross daily, and we mortify the deeds of the flesh. So if I'm mortifying the deeds of the flesh daily, that means a death, so I die daily. Now, if I die daily, then I should be resurrected daily, okay? I mean, it would make sense if something's telling me I got to die daily, something needs to come alive daily. Okay, so on a daily basis, I catch up by the transformation of my mind, the renewing of my mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now I've got a mind too, a mind of man, a mind of corruption, a mind of lust, a mind with the love of the world, a mind that savors the things of the flesh. That's in my first birth. That's in my nature. It's in your nature. The Bible said all men's hearts are fashioned alike. So you got a mind in you that loves the world, the frolics of the world, the pride of life, likes prestige, likes the nice things of this world, and wants everything to do it. And Satan uses the flesh to lure you into eternal damnation. Okay, so now we're differentiating between your flesh mind and your flesh man and the spirit man. So the Bible teaches very clear about these two things. Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He said, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the very things I don't want to do are the things I find myself doing. Now see, he was confessing another mind laying within the members of his flesh man. Another mind there. But then yet there's a mind of Christ in there. Now let's talk about Jesus. He said he made himself both Lord and Christ. Amen. Still answering the brother's question. Sometimes we ask questions, but you know, we want to understand them. So if we're both Lord and Christ, he was both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man, both Son of God. God did not die on the cross of Calvary. That's Catholic doctrine. Nowhere does my Bible teach that God died on the cross. Who died on the cross? Son of Man. Oh, but Jesus, the Bible said, God with us. I said, yeah, and amen. Now you come to Revelation. See, what I said both times was right. He's Son of Man, Son of God. The Son of Man died, the Son of God lived. What do you mean? Well, don't you realize the Spirit departed from him? And the man part screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was a differentiation between the Lord and the Christ. He was both God and both man, both spirit and both flesh. You're coming to Revelation if you can understand that. Okay, so the man part went into hell and he redeemed him from corruption of hell to show the first resurrection. Amen? Jesus Christ. Now, we're talking still about rapture. So our spirit's caught away, hidden in Christ, sealed away. Nothing can be touched. Nothing can be laid to his charge. Perfect. Justified. No darkness there. No bitterness there. It's all perfect. Now we come into the second dimension, the soul realm. Okay, and I talked about a daily death, having to do with the soul realm, killing out, mortifying my man and bringing Christ alive. By catching away in the thoughts of Christ and the mind of God, I'm raptured on a daily basis to the throne of God, walking in heavenly places, dwelling with the Lord, talking with the Lord, worshiping the Lord and praising God. Okay, that's a daily catching up, a daily rapture. Now, I could choose to lay in my bed and feel sorry for myself and talk about how terrible my world is and, oh, poor me, and, oh, gosh, I don't feel good. I don't want to do this. Oh, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me and this and that. I'll perish and go to hell. Or I could say, praise God, man, I am walking in the authority of the resurrection. I've been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm walking in heavenly places, shouting a victory. And they all hate me, but praise God, they hated him first. They want to beat me. They want to persecute me. Glory be to God. I got the joy of the Lord. Now see, we're talking about catching up, another catching away. The rapture that he's speaking about that is said he grew up learning about is one to this body. And what they say is that the body be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. Now, the thing is if I'm alive or so to speak, walking this earth right now, my body has not gone by the way of the grave or gone to sleep, as the Bible calls it, sleep, not death. We've already passed from death unto life. And it said it'd be changed before them, right before them, changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, transfiguration to this body. Those ones that are in the box out there, even though it went back to dust, went back to decay, the worms ate it, the sharks ate it, every one of those particles will be gathered together and they'll come forth in the resurrection. You understand that? That's the transfiguration. So the justification is to the spirit realm, the translation to the spirit realm, the transformation to the soul, to the mind, transforming our mind into the mind of Christ, catching up daily. Spirit already done, daily catching up in the soul and the mind, catching our mind away in the mind of Christ, rapturing it. You understand that? So that's the transformation realm. And then we go down to the, and that's also the sanctification realm. Justification, sanctification to the soul, glorification to the body. When the body goes through the metamorphosis, through the change, the rapture, that's the glorification, a glorified body. It's no longer that corruptible, it's changed into incorruptible. It's no longer that telestial, it's changed into celestial. It's no longer that temporal body, but now it's an immortal body. And I could take you over to 1 Corinthians 15, and it talks about that body and about the change to that body. It's not the one made with hands. So you see, we're looking at this rapture now in three different dimensions, trying to comprehend and understand it. So again, if we say justified in the spirit, transformed in the soul, transfigured in the body. So we say translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, spiritual realm, and then transfigured into the bodily realm. So the glorifications to the body. You see, your spirit doesn't need to be glorified. It's already the glory of the Lord, walking in the Lord. You see, but the body's got to go through the glorification. So we see the Father's invisible. The invisible spirit of the Father came into the fullness and dwelled within the Son of Man, the Son of God. And we find these coming together, the spirit in the flesh. God robed himself in the flesh, walked among men, and when man recognized who he was, then he knew it was expedient to take that image to the cross, because the image of God came, and you say, I want to come in the image of God. You have. What was the image of God in what you saw walking among men? Somebody help me out here. What is it? It's the image of the fallen man, the image of the sin nature, the Bible says. What is the image of the sin nature? Anything that hangs on a cross or on a tree, the Bible said, let it be accursed. What was the cursed part, brethren? It was that fleshly part of the man part. It showed the serpent. See, Jesus was betrayed into the Old Testament as a serpent on the pole. And they held it up for the healing of the people. Moses held it up for the healing of the people. That showed Christ going to the cross of Calvary. Don't be offended now. I'm talking about the scriptures. You see, we got to differentiate between that beastly part. He was without sin. Jesus was pure. He had no sin. But what I'm saying, he came in the image of sin. That's Bible. You could read it for yourself. Came in that image. He took that image to the cross and it was beaten beyond recognition. And it went into hell and resurrected as a new creature in Christ. Now I want to ask you a question. If you remember when Jesus came forth at the garden tomb there, and they came forth and they saw him, they thought it was a gardener. They didn't recognize him. And then they walked along, the brethren that walked with him on a daily basis, walking along the Sea of Galilee with him. And then until he spoke, they didn't even know who he was. So you tell me he didn't resurrect in another form. But then yet he showed the nail prints when he came into the room that was barred and nailed up. He said, look here. And he showed the nail prints in his hands. So it was a true, definite resurrection. But there's some things that God shows us in these things that we need to perceive and understand. Brethren, I could go on and on and on. And done lost some of you, and that's okay. But the thing is you need to pray and ask God to grant unto you, the Bible says, the spirit of revelation. You know, and you say, well, these things are boring to me. Let me tell you, when I'm talking about something of my God and all of eternity in his word, there is nothing dull, nothing boring. This is what children of God long for and drive for and thirst for. The Bible said, when you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And if you don't hunger for these kind of things, you need to find a prayer closet somewhere. somewhere and say, God, please grant me spirit of life and grant me eternal life and grant me the spirit to draw. If you're satisfied with just the knowledge of him crucified, oh, I'm happy to know that Jesus died and resurrected for me. That's all I care to know. You don't understand the scriptures, because he says that you will have this hunger and thirst. He said, drink of this and you'll never thirst again. Come taste of this. Drink that blood and eat his flesh, is what he told them. And some of his own disciples walked away because they did not understand what that meant, to eating his flesh and drinking his blood. So the thing is some of the things that we've lightly touched on this evening would take much time to go into even more so detail. Does that help you? A little bit. I remember I asked my pastor a question and he answered about an hour and a half answer the question. I was sitting there, man, and I stayed with him for a minute and he launched off into the third heaven somewhere, and I was like, I seen the afterburners and then I saw the capsules fall off, and man, he went off out there and he got all done. He said, well, Brother Rob, that help you? And I said, sir, do you think you can grind that up and put it in a bottle for me and I'll hit on it a little bit later? Amen. But God is real, brother, and there's you know, his spirit is real. His word is real. It's yea and amen. It's rich. It's deep. The Bible said the deep calling unto the deep. Amen. And there's things in the word of God. The Bible said that we're to be stewards of the mysteries. Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. If you all wanted to go on that tonight, I could talk about that and it would take hours. And you say, well, I know that my wife and I got married and she came into my mind and we're one in the flesh. And I say, well, you got a partial of the thing, just like what he said tonight about his doctrine there, where he was talking about, well, this is what I grow up believing and hearing about. Well, let me tell you something. The church is teaching this rapture that you're going to be sitting around one day, driving your car, and all of a sudden you're going to get sucked out of the seat and the airplanes are going to crash out of the sky and all these thousands of people are going to go, you may as well go watch Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. It ain't going to be that way. But let me tell you something. There will be a people that are changed in the moment, in a twinkle of an eye, like the word says. But let me tell you how small of a flock that's going to be. A small flock. The Bible said the righteous scarcely make it. Few be there that find it, the Bible says. The thing is if you go to your patterns in your Bible, when God destroyed this world with water, there was 8 that went into a boat, and all the rest of humanity was killed out. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, talked about the millions that were there in that place, and fire and brimstone, and only 4 came out. You understand that? And when he went in and brought the children out of Egypt, there was a recorded of over 3 million, I believe. Now, I could stand corrected at that. But they came out of Egypt, and they came out into wilderness for 40 years, and only 2 of them crossed into the Canaan land that were above the age of 20. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. And the Bible said that they waited for those to die off in the wilderness out there before he let the youth go in, because it shows us the youth going into the real genuine Canaan land. And we, when we're born of God, are the youth. The Bible says the elder serving the younger. Amen. We need to come to what that means. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, 2 made it out. And went down to show 8. Then it showed 4. Then it showed 2. And now there's going to be another one, and there's only going to be 1 that makes it this time, brother. And you're standing looking at him. It's me and me alone. I just thought I'd give you something to throw a rock at you about. Oh, no, help me, Jesus. But what I said is the truth. You know why? Because I'm bone and bone and flesh of the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. The statement is factual. You are the body of Christ if you're born again. Because let me talk to you for a second about predestination. You're not predestined because you're good. You're not predestined because you got good works. You're not predestined because you go to the right church or said the right prayer or got baptized the right way. There's only one way that you're predestined. That's predestined in Jesus Christ. Philip asked him, said, when will we see the Father? And he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Now, this is what Jesus said to Philip. Go read it for yourself in Gospel of John, I believe, 10th chapter. How can you say you have not seen me when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. And I'm in you and you in me. Now how are you going to separate that? I'm the body of Christ. Amen. I mean, come on, all the churches teach that. We're the body of the Lord, man, the body of Christ. Okay, so who's predestined to make it this time? The body of Christ. Well, Brother Rob, now let's go back to the rapture. That's going to be millions and thousands of people. And he said, if this is what I've done to my only begotten Son, that he beat him beyond recognition on the cross. Beat him beyond recognition. One of the most hideous, most brutal deaths that a man could die. And he said, if this is what I would do to my only begotten son, what, how much more so am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? That's what his Bible says. The word. Do you believe in the word of God? And when he said the righteous scarcely make it, and when it tells us to fight and to press our way into the kingdom, you see, brothers, come on. And we got this lukewarm idea. I said a prayer, now I live like a dog and a devil, and I'm going to make it into the kingdom because I said a prayer. The Bible said it's ye that endure to the end. He said, be ye good soldiers for Christ and keep yourself unspotted from the affairs of this world. You understand that? Fight the fight, the good fight of faith. You see, we got to prevail against the gates of hell. We got to learn to fight against the principalities and powers of Satan and darkness and the rulers of darkness. We got to fight that fight, the good fight of faith. We got to know how to hold the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. You see, these are just fancy little sermons that we've heard over the years, but we better get a revelation of what these things mean. Do we have fear for our soul? Do we have fear for our life? Do we have the fear of God? Well, brother, if you was born of God, you'd have peace. I have a peace that surpasses all understanding according to the Bible. But I have a fear for people perishing and dying. I have a fear that I'd have blood on my hands for not crying out to the ungodly and the wicked. The Bible said when you see evil coming upon the city and you don't cry out against it, that you have blood on your hands. Do you realize that your nation is sold out to the devil? The United States of America has sold out to the works of darkness and the devil. Do you realize that the simple fact that we got a black man in there as president shows that the devil's climbed up into the upper lintels? And that would offend people. That sounded very racist, didn't it? But I get your attention talking like that, huh? Are you a racist? I got black brothers and sisters that are filled with the Holy Ghost that are sons of God. But God loves us so much that he speaks to us through allegories, and he allowed a dark man to show the darkness, showing that Satan has climbed up into the upper lintels, and like his Bible says, climbed up another way. Now, I could say the same thing if he was a white man. God showed us through the allegory of darkness. Go to your third world countries that are full of black. There's death, starvation, diseases that are coming out of these countries. Why? Because it's an allegory to the darkness. Oh, so you're saying white man shows something as light? Well, there's an allegory to that, but white man is one of the most wretched, filthy perversions that ever walked in the earth. Well, you are a white man. I'm talking to you as the Son of God. The Bible said there's no good thing in the flesh. All flesh has corrupted its way before God. You say, well, I don't know. I'd be like this, but I'm kind of confused. If I'm going to speak to you as the Son of God, I'm going to speak to you by the spirit of revelation. But if I'm going to speak to you as a man, I'm going to speak to you as an old wretched man. And God have mercy. So which one do you want to speak by? Let's speak by the spirit of revelation, knowing that we've passed from death unto life. Let's give Jesus a hand. Let's stand together. We'd have to go quite a bit farther to gather it all together, but I think we come to a clarity enough to help us bring forth where we can close the service. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Let's sing a song or two and we won't keep you. Let's worship him, saints. We won't keep you much longer. The altars are open this evening. Did you see the light? Did the shucks come off of your eyes? Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It was
there by faith I received my sight.
And now I am happy all the day.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, be in prayer for the ones that aren't here this evening. Hold them up in prayer. Remember, Brother Jameson's meeting starting a week from tonight. I'm planning on going and just pray. God most definitely will make a way. Amen. How many believe in a God that makes a way when there is no way? Amen. We're serving a mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing one more song as we close the service. Amen.
Oh, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry.
We love you, Lord God.
While on
we praise you, Lord Jesus.
Our holy.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I got a couple brethren that are trying to set us another conference and a meeting in Africa right now. I've been coordinating with Brother Makoka a bit, trying to put a couple of these guys together. One's over in the south central part of Kenya, probably 2 to 3 hours out of Nairobi. I think it's called Lake Kimisu. I could be wrong. But be in prayer with me. They're requesting us, and I've had several brethren write me from the Philippines asking me when we're going to be back over there and asking us to come over there to bring the gospel. This brother in South Kenya, he's received some packages from us of CDs and some of our literature. They said, we need this here. We need this kind of help. We need this kind of teaching. We sat down with pastors when we were in Nairobi, and we tried to teach them these kind of doctrines that we talked about tonight. We preached for 8 hours every day from about 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 and 6 o'clock. They were pushing us out of the building because we were supposed to be out. And the pastors were saying, please, keep on teaching, keep on teaching. They did not want to go. Do you have a hunger for these things, for the word, for righteousness and holiness and godliness? Be ye holy, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is holy. Amen. Let me read a passage of Scripture. I know that there was a lot of Scripture that went forth tonight, but let's read this and we'll close in prayer. Reading now the 1 John, the 3rd chapter. I love the Scriptures and the Word, but I love this passage of Scriptures. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Who's us? It's us, right? Amen. Come on now. That we should be called the sons of God. I was talking with an Assembly of God preacher. I'm not saying this in a negative way towards Assembly of God. But I told him, I said, brother, you know, we're sons of God. And he goes, oh, I can't say that. This right here gives us some authority to say that.
Amen.
Amen. Again, verse 1. He's got it there on the board. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So if you can't receive a brother as a son of God, you'll never know who you are. You remember a message similar to that the other day, huh? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Beloved, now. It didn't say later. It didn't say after they put you in a box. It didn't say after you was with the Lord. It said, beloved, now. How many know what now is? I know we had a president in office not too many years back, and he asked him why he was under oath. He said, could you identify is for me? Well, I'm not as ignorant as Bill Clinton was. You say, well, don't speak against dignitaries. Dignitaries aren't whoremongers in the Capitol or the White House.
Amen.
Okay, dignitary means they got dignity. Do you understand that? So I speak against the wretched perversion and filth of the world, just like John the Baptist did when they took his head off. Amen. They might take my head off one day. And guess what? I'll be rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. And I hope you will be too. Amen. Hallelujah. And you say, man, you better be careful, Brother Rob. I don't have to be careful about anything. I'm a son of God. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That goes right along with your scriptures tonight where you're talking about what they taught. When we appear with him, we'll be like him. Now they don't see us of what we already are, but we already are the sons of God. Amen. And the foreknowledge of God.
Right.
Amen. We shall see him as he is. Verse 3. It says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin. Now listen to this. If you're in doctrines of devils and they're teaching you that you're a sinner and sin every day, I want you to go to this passage of Bible. Whosoever, verse 4, committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. How many of you are in Christ?
Amen.
Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, I'm abiding in him, amen, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, if you have a testimony that you don't know the Lord, then we'll open in the altars for you tonight that you could come in and get born again, for you could know him and he could know you. Amen. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. So if you're not doing righteous, then you need to question yourself. Is this right? I don't think I'm getting outside of the scriptures here, brother. Now, here we go. Verse 8. If you're a sinner and you say you sin every day, listen to this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Are you of the devil, Brother Ed?
Nope.
Why? You don't born sin. And you're born again. Amen. I'm not of the devil. I'm of my Lord, my God, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who I'm of. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God. For this purpose, because the devil's a sinner and he sinned from the beginning, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. How many believe that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil,
amen,
at Calvary? If he didn't do it then, it's never going to be done.
That's right.
The last enemy of God has been conquered, mm-hmm, death. It's been abolished. The Bible said it's abolished. And you say, well, my grandfather died. Well, if he was the Son of God, he never died. They might have went to sleep and they put him in a box. That's different. That's what Jesus called it. He didn't call it death. When Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days, they said, he stinketh by now. I said, oh, he's asleep. But he stinks by now. The Lord knew what he was talking about. Amen. We got to understand the difference between body, soul, and spirit. Verse 8 again. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. How many believe the Bible?
Amen.
Why do preachers argue this? Somebody tell me. I know why, because they're blind, yeah, and they're sinners. And they don't see good when good comes. The Bible said ministers of Satan transforming themselves into ministers of light. They're full of deception because their father's the devil. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And it says that he cannot sin. That's because bitterness can't get where sweet and darkness cannot get where light's at. We're talking about the third heaven. This is where we're hid away in heavenly places. We got to believe the Bible. Let's don't believe theology. Let's believe neology and spirit of the Word of God. The Bible said these things have to be spiritually discerned. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not. Righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The Bible said we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And it says right here it's going to be manifest whatever you are. If you're of your father, the devil, you're going to be full of wickedness and evil, adultery, fornication, drunkenness, love of the world, and lust of the flesh. But if you're born of God, you're going to be full of the fruits of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, and gentleness, and kindness, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost will be with you and in you and walking. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing All Praise Him one more time. We'll get Brother Randy to dismiss us in prayer. God bless you.
And I will praise Him.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.